Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Jaguru Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tera Vanachari. Yamuna Tera Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tera Vanachari. Yamuna Tera Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jai Om Vishnu Pat Paramahansa Parvajaka Acharya Asatara Sat Sri Srimati's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Gati Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsakahu Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasati Gauda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Devotees, and all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. So I will continue from where we left off yesterday, which was from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila. This is chapter 13, and it is entitled The Lord's Dancing at Ratha Yatra. Since we have time constraints, I will just be reading the English translation and the purport. But I will be mentioning whenever the reading from the translation stops and the purports begin. So, the Ratha Yatra has been going on. The carts have been moving, and there's been tremendous ecstatic dancing going on. Lord Chaitanya has divided his men into seven groups of chanters and dancers, and everyone is truly in an ecstatic state. And the Lord has especially blessed King Prataparudra, as we will see. Let me just mention what was extremely pleasurable to the Lord was the fact that King Prataparudra, who's a king, kings are expected to simply give orders. But rather he took the position of a sweeper on the road, sweeping the dust. Not to put on a show for Lord Chaitanya. That was never the idea. He was too much in deep love of the Supreme Lord to do that kind of thing. But what he saw was that the Lord would be riding on a cart, and the Lord would be seeing the road. And he didn't want the Lord to see anything dirty, anything filthy, anything spotted. He wanted the Lord to see a clean street for his clean, clear, beautiful eyes. This was the mood of the king. And Lord Chaitanya, he knew this. He could appreciate this. He relished this. And because he relished it, he would give the king a great blessing, as we will see. Up to now, the Lord has not in any way shown personal favor to him, although King Prataparudra has been asking and urging and trying, please get me an appointment with the Supreme Lord. No. The best he could get is he got a piece of cloth from the Lord, and the second then he got his son. The son of the king was sent, and the Lord showered him with blessings. But now the big moment is coming, where the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expresses and feels deep within him the humility of King Prataparudra. So deep, so great, greater than all of his servants. And of course, he is the servant of the servant of the servant. And that's what a great servant is. And that's what Lord Chaitanya is very much compelled to give his mercy to. So without any further ado, I'll read from the book. This is text number 61. 63? Oh, okay. Full 61. Okay. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes for some time in this way. He personally sang and induced his personal associates to dance. When the great personalities Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Kashi Mishra saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy upon the king, they were astonished. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes for some time in this way. He personally sang and induced his personal associates to dance. According to his need, the Lord sometimes exhibited one form and sometimes many. This was being executed by his which potency? Huh? Yes, this is internal potency. Indeed, the personality of Godhead forgot himself in the course of his transcendental pastimes, but his internal potency, Lila Shakti, knowing the intentions of the Lord, made all arrangements. Purport, it is stated in the Upanishads, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shuyate Svabhaviki Gyana Bala Kriya Cha, which means the Supreme Lord has multipotencies which act so perfectly that all consciousness, strength, and activity are being directed solely by his will. That's from the Shvetvatasara Upanishads, number 6-8. Thank you. So the purport goes on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just one moment please. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his mystic power in presenting himself simultaneously in each and every Sankirtan group. Most people thought that he was one, but some saw that he was many. The internal devotees could understand that the Lord, although one, was exhibiting himself as many in the different Sankirtan groups. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, he forgot himself and was simply absorbed in ecstatic bliss. But his internal potency arranged everything perfectly. This is the difference between the internal and external potency. In the material world, the external potency, or material energy, can act only after one endeavors at great length. But when the Supreme Lord desires, everything is performed automatically by the internal potency. By his will, things happen so nicely and perfectly that they appear to be carried out automatically. Sometimes the activities of the internal potency are exhibited in the material world. In fact, all the activities of material nature are actually performed by the inconceivable energies of the Lord, but so-called scientists and students of material nature are unable to understand ultimately how things are happening. Well, there goes my light. Let's see how we can manage it. Okay. How things are happening. They evasively conclude that everything is being done by nature, but they do not know that behind nature is the potent Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. He explains in the Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Mayadhyakshena prakriti suryate saracharacharam hetu nanena kunteya jagad viparivartate, which means this material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and unmoving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Text number 66. Just as Lord Sri Krishna formerly performed the Rasalila dance and other pastimes at Vrindavan, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed uncommon pastimes moment after moment. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing before the Rathayatra car could be perceived only by pure devotees. Others could not understand. Descriptions of Lord Krishna's uncommon dancing can be found in the revealed scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam purport. Lord Sri Krishna expanded himself into many forms while engaged in the Ras Lila dance. And he also expanded himself when he married 16,000 wives in Dwarka. The same process was adopted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he expanded himself into seven forms to dance in each and every group of the Sankirtan party. These expansions were appreciated by pure devotees, including King Prataparudra. Although for reasons of external formality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see King Prataparudra because he was what? Yes, he was a king. King Prataparudra became one of the Lord's most confidential devotees by the Lord's special mercy upon him. It shows how impressed the Lord was with the king's humility. It is not easy and it is not natural, generally speaking, for kings to manifest humility and modesty because they're always busy receiving glorification and honor and prestige and the like. But this king felt that he was nobody, that he was nothing. He was insignificant. He was worthless next to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya, appreciating that mentality of humility and modesty, responded to it by drowning him in an ocean of mercy, as we will see. The king could see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simultaneously present in all seven groups. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, one cannot see the expansions of the transcendental forms of the Lord unless one is a pure devotee of the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in great jubilation and inundated all the people with waves of ecstatic love. Thus, Lord Jagannath mounted his car, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired all his devotees to dance in front of it. Now, please hear about Lord Jagannath's going to the Gundicha temple while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced before the Rath car. The Lord performed kirtan for some time, and although his own and through his own endeavor, inspired all the devotees to dance. When the Lord himself wanted to dance, all seven groups combined together. The Lord's devotees, including Srivas, Ramai, Raghu, Govinda, Mukunda, Haridas, Govindanandana, Madhava, and Govinda, all combined together. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to jump high while dancing, he placed these nine people in the charge of Swarup Damodar. These devotees, Swarup Damodar, and the devotees in his charge, sang along with the Lord, and they also ran beside him. All the other groups of men also sang. Offering obeisances to the Lord with folded hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his face toward Jagannath and prayed as follows. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Krishna, who is the worshipable deity for all Brahminical men, who is the well-wisher of cows and Brahmins, and who is always benefiting the whole world. I offer my repeated obeisances to the personality of Godhead, known as Krishna and Govinda. Purport. This is a quotation from the Purana, from the Vishnu Purana 1.19.65. Translation. All glories unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the son of whom?
Devaki.
Yes, Devaki. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the light of the dynasty of Rishni. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily luster is like that of a new cloud, and whose body is as soft as a lotus flower. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared on this planet to deliver the world from the burden of demons, and who can offer liberation to everyone. Lord Sri Krishna is he who is known as Jana Nivasa, the ultimate resort of all living entities, and who is also known as Devaki Nandana, or Vasudha Nandana, the son of Devaki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms, he kills everything inauspicious, as well as every man who is impious. By his presence, he destroys all things inauspicious, for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful, smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy. So when we speak of lusty desires of the gopis, we have to understand that, especially those who may not have, read too many of Srila Prabhupada's books. First of all, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he defines the difference between love and lust. Lust, basically, is like iron, and love is like gold. So gold does not tarnish, but iron does. And that's basically the same idea. The gopis' love was not in all tarnished. It was clean, unalloyed, pure, and perfect. They asked and desired and expected no return for everything that they offered. Some were cooking for him, some were massaging his feet, some were singing for him. They did different services, but they expected no return because they felt that the fact that Krishna was receiving and accepting and enjoying their service offering, that was more than enough. That was a great blessing for them. So if they were getting a blessing, how could they be expecting something when they were already getting? So that's the understanding of devotional service. That when we perform devotional loving service, we are always getting. And the getting is truly the result of the giving. Giving unconditionally, undesiringly, undemandingly, giving in a manner in which we actually realize that this service is so great, so glorious, so wonderful, so adorable and lovable, that there's nothing greater, nothing higher, nothing better, nothing grander. It is the best. So when a devotee understands this particular principle, she literally dives into the service. And never thinks, am I going to get anything? Am I getting any money for this? Or anybody going to compliment me? Anybody going to praise me? Anybody going to clap for me? Anybody going to do anything for me? That's not what devotional service is all about. Devotional service is all about, I'm getting so much by just doing this. How can I expect anything? The very fact that I got the service, that's the greatest of all things. So I am indeed fortunate. I am indeed great in the sense that Krishna has drawn closer to me by giving me this wonderful service. Now, if I can find my praise, we'll be in good shape. Yeah. Now, this is a very important verse, the one I'm about to read. I am not a Brahmin, Lord Chaitanya says. I am not a Kshatriya. I am not a Vaishya or a Shudra. Nor am I a Brahmachari, a householder, a Vanaprastha, or a, what's the last one? Yes, I'm glad everybody's listening. I didn't hear any snores yet. So, I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He is like an ocean of nectar, and he is the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He is always existing with brilliance. So why I mention that this is a very important verse, Lord Chaitanya considers it important for all of us primarily. Being the servant of the Lord is a very prestigious position. But being the servant of the servant is a little less prestigious. Being the servant of the servant of the servant is still less prestigious. And so a devotee who has any degree of true humility, he wants to be or she wants to be way at the back of the line and is very happy to even get that, for that is great, that he is able to do any service for the Lord because it is so precious, it is so valuable, it is so coveted and so great. So in that understanding, a devotee goes to the back, servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And this is an honor. It's not, oh, gee, am I in the back. It's not that kind of a thing. We don't grouse and complain. If you can get on the line, even that's great. And that should be our mentality. Any service you do, whether you're picking up paper off the steps over there, whether you're getting a chance to cook an offering for the Lord, or you're getting cooking to cook for Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, any type of service that we do, the lower the better. Because when you low, you have to bend down. When you have to bend down, you get close to the floor. And then you say, yes, that's where I belong. Because I am so full of impurities, so full of faults, so full of aparads, sins, you name it, I got it. And that's why I belong right there. And maybe, just possibly, if I realize my true position, look at Haridas Thakur, that's his whole mentality with just that. Even Lord Chaitanya would say, you know, your humility is killing me. He would say like that. He says, I can't handle it. So, therefore, when we are close to the ground, it means that, yes, that's where I belong in relation to Krishna, to Radha, to their associates, to their devotees, to the devotees even here. If you can take that position, and rather than wanting to lord it over, be a big shot, be great, be honored, be applauded. I'm just nobody. And if I have any position, it's because the Lord has mercifully, very, very graciously given this to me. And my position should be, it came by the Lord's mercy. I didn't really earn it. I could never earn it. I have too many sins, too many faults, too many terrible things in me. But by the Lord's grace, he can push all that aside and enable me to be the king of the universe if he wishes. There is nothing outside his ability or his power. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. And so this is what we have in this situation. So therefore, we should not feel in any way compromised or small or insignificant when we have to get down to the floor. When I was growing up, I was, of course, as you can see, quite small and quite short. So everybody was taller than me. And I was always bemoaning that fact. Well, when I got to Krishna consciousness, I kind of liked it because I was lower to the floor. So there was no problem there. And it reminded me of that's where I belong. So without any further ado on that particular point. So I am not a Brahmin. I've just said that particular verse. And the purport, this is verse number 74 from Padyavali, an anthology of verses compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. It was published, by the way, by Kushakrata, and I'm not sure whether it's still up in the gift shop. Very nice. Having recited all these verses from Scripture, the Lord again offered his obeisances, and all the devotees with folded hands also offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, roaring with like thunder and moving in a circle like a wheel, he appeared like a circling firebrand. Purport. If a burning cinder of a firebrand is whirled about very swiftly, it gives the appearance of a circle of fire. This is called alata. My glasses I don't have. Akada, or alata chakra, a firebrand circle. This whole circle is not actually made of fire, but is a single fire in motion. Similarly, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a single personality, but when he danced and jumped high in a circle, he appeared like the alata chakra. Translation. Wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stepped, well, can somebody go out and chase my competition away? Wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stepped while dancing, the whole earth with its hills and seas appeared to tilt. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, he displayed various blissful transcendental changes in his body. Sometimes he appeared as though stunned. Sometimes the hairs of his body stood on end. Sometimes he perspired, cried, trembled, and changed color. And sometimes he exhibited symptoms of helplessness, pride, exuberance, and humility. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down with a crash while dancing, he would roll on the ground. At such times, it appeared that a golden mountain was rolling on the ground. Nityananda Prabhu would stretch out his two hands and try to catch the Lord when he was running here and there. Advaita Acharya would walk behind the Lord and loudly chant, "Hari Bol! Hari Bol!" again and again, just to check the crowds from coming too near the Lord. The devotees formed three circles. The first circle was guided by Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram himself, the possessor of great strength. All the devotees headed by Kashishvar and Govinda linked hands and formed a second circle around the Lord. Maharaj Prataparudra and his personal assistants formed a third circle around the two inner circles just to check the crowds from coming too near. They have to do that because people see that Lord Chaitanya, from his exhibition of his ecstatic symptoms, that he is obviously a saint. And what do they do when they say a saint? They take his clothes, they tear it apart, or they grab for his shoes, or they take anything that they can get as a relic of this great personality. So, by the end of the day, there won't be any Lord Chaitanya left because everybody will be taking what they want. So, therefore, the three circles... we're there to run interference. Maharaj Prataparudra and his personal assistants formed the third circle, which I said. With his hand on his shoulders of Harichandan, King Prataparudra could see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, and the king felt great ecstasy. While the king beheld the dancing, Srivas Thakur, standing in front of him, became ecstatic as he saw the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing Srivas Thakur standing before the king, Harichandan touched Srivas with his hand and requested him to, "Hey, step aside." Absorbed in watching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance, Srivas Thakur could not understand why he was being touched and pushed. After he was pushed again and again, he became angry. Srivas Thakur slapped Harichandra to stop him from pushing him. In turn, this made Harichandan angry. As the angered Harichandan was about to speak to Srivas Thakur, Prataparudra Maharaj personally stopped him. King Prataparudra said, "You are very fortunate, for you have been graced by the touch of Srivas Thakur. I am not so fortunate. You should feel obliged to him." Everyone was astonished by the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even Lord Jagannath became extremely happy to see him. The car came to a complete standstill and remained immobile while Lord Jagannath, with unblinking eyes, watched the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some of you might want to visualize this, how this is going on. Actually, it increases the meditation when you actually can see it in your mind. And many great devotees, they don't have to make an effort because their love is so strong for the Lord. As soon as they hear something about him, they see it in their mind's eye. This is a very advanced state. The goddess of fortune, Subhadra, and Lord Balaram both felt great happiness and ecstasy within their hearts. Indeed, they were seen smiling and dancing. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped high, 8 wonderful transformations indicative of divine ecstasy were seen in his body. All these symptoms were visible simultaneously. His skin erupted with goose pimples, and the hairs of his body stood on end. His body resembled the simuli silk cotton tree, all covered with thorns. Indeed, the people became afraid just to see his teeth chatter, and they even thought that his teeth would fall out. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whole body flowed with perspiration, and at the same time oozed blood. He made the sounds, ga-ga-ga-ga. He was trying to say, "Jagannath, Jagannath, Jagannath," but he couldn't say it all. He could say, he was choked with ecstasy. This is a poor man's imitation, so please bear with me. Tears came forcefully from the eyes of the Lord, as if from a syringe, and all the people surrounding him became wet. Everyone saw the complexion of his body change from white to pink, so that his luster resembled that of the Malika flower. Sometimes he appeared stunned, and sometimes he rolled on the ground. Indeed, sometimes his legs and hands became as hard as dry wood, and he did not move. When the Lord fell on the ground, sometimes his breathing almost stopped. When the devotees saw this, their lives also became very feeble. Water flowed from his eyes and sometimes through his nostrils, and foam fell from his mouth. These flowings appeared to be torrents of nectar descending from the moon. The foam fell from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taken and drunk by Shubhananda because he was very fortunate and expert in relishing the mellows of ecstatic love of Krishna. after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had performed his devastating dance for some time, his mind entered into a mood of ecstatic love. After abandoning the dancing, the Lord ordered Swarup Damodar to sing. Understanding his mind, Swarup Damodar began to sing as follows. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. Purport. This song refers to Srimati Radharani's meeting with Krishna at the holy place of Kurukshetra, where Lord Sri Krishna and his brother and sister came to visit when there was a solar eclipse. In a song of separation from Krishna, when Radharani met Krishna at Kurukshetra, she remembered his intimate association in Vrindavan. And she thought, now I have gained the Lord of my life. In his absence, I was being burned by the arrows of Cupid, and thus I was withering away. Now I have my life again. When this refrain was loudly sung by Swarup Damodar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began rhythmically dancing in transcendental bliss. The car of Lord Jagannath began to move slowly, while the son of Mother Shachi went ahead and danced in front. While dancing and singing, all the devotees in front of Lord Jagannath kept their eyes on him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the end of the procession with the Sankirtan performers. His eyes and mind fully absorbed in Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to play the drama of the song with his own arms. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dramatically enacting the song, he would sometimes fall behind in the procession. At such times, Lord Jagannath would come to a standstill. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again went forward, Lord Jagannath's car would slowly start again. But the Lord wants to see the Lord. Can't find any better than the Lord. Thus, there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. Sorry. Purport. In his Anubhasya, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur describes the ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows. After giving up the company of the gopis in Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, engaged in his pastimes at Dwarka. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister and others from Dwarka, he again met the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhava, beauty Suvalita. That is, Krishna himself assuming the part of Srimati Radharani in order to understand Krishna. That was the purpose, or one of the purposes of his incarnation. He wanted to taste what Srimati Radharani's bliss felt like. He wanted to taste what her love felt like. He wanted to taste what his own sweetness felt like. So these are some of the features and reasons why the Lord, out of curiosity, a burning curiosity, wanted to experience the love of Srimati Radharani. He again met the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Am I in the wrong place? Okay. Let's see where I can get this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leading Lord Jagannath to the Gundicha temple corresponded to Srimati Radharani's leading Krishna toward Vrindavan. Sri Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, was taken as the kingdom of Dwarka, the place where Krishna enjoys supreme opulence. But he was being led by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, the simple village where all the inhabitants are filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. Sri Kshetra is a place of Aishwarya Leela, just as Vrindavan is the place of Madhurya Leela. Aishwarya is generally wealth or auspiciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following at the rear of the rat, the cart, indicated that Lord Jagannath, Krishna, was forgetting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Although Krishna neglected the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he could not forget them. Thus, in his opulent Rath Yatra, he was returning to Vrindavan. And why could he not forget them? Because they could never forget him. And the more they thought of him, the more his heart was provoked to more and more of extreme love. So therefore, they could not forget him. He could not forget them. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the pure devotee. The devotee does not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but him. So this is from the Bhagavatam. In the role of Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was examining whether the Lord still remembered the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell behind the Rath car, Jagannath Dev, Krishna himself, understood the mind of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Jagannath sometimes fell behind the dancing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate to Srimati Radharani that he had not forgotten. Thus Lord Jagannath would stop the forward march of the Rath, the cart, and wait at a standstill. In this way, Lord Jagannath agreed that without the ecstasy, very important, without the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he could not feel satisfied. While Jagannath was thus waiting, Gaurasundara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, immediately became forward to Krishna. At such times, Lord Jagannath would proceed ahead very slowly. These competitive exchanges were all part of the love affair between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. In that competition between Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy for Jagannath and Jagannath's ecstasy for Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emerged successful. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not very happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva under the Vitasi tree. That is my desire. Purport is from the Padyavali. This verse was recited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again, but for Swarup Damodar, no one could understand its meaning. I have already explained this verse. Now I shall simply describe it in brief purport. In this connection, see Matya Lila, chapter 1, verses 53 and 73 to 80 and 82 to 84. Translation. Formerly, all the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met with Krishna in the holy place Kurukshetra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke with the ecstasy of the gopis. Being absorbed in this ecstasy, he asked Swarup Damodar to sing the refrain. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke thus to Lord Jagannath, follows. You are the, he's speaking as Srimati Radharani, you are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you will please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. In Kurukshetra, there are crowds of people and elephants and horses and also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan, there are flower gardens and the humming of the bees and chirping of the birds can be heard. Here at Kurukshetra, you are dressed, like a royal prince, accompanied by great warriors. But in Vrindavan, you appear just like an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. Here there is not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. I therefore request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled. I have already described in brief Srimati Radharani's statement from Srimad Bhagavatam. In that ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited many other verses, but people in general could not understand their meaning. The meaning of these verses was known to Swarup Damodar Goswami, but he did not reveal it. However, Sri Rupa Goswami has broadcast the meaning. Translation. While dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the following verse, which he tasted in the association of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Quote, the gopis spoke thus. Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged and household affairs. Again, here is this sense of humility. They're the greatest of the greatest of the greatest devotees of the Lord. But what is their feeling? We're just ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. We can learn so much from those few words. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.82.48. The gopis were never interested in karma yoga, jnana yoga, or dhyana yoga. They were simply interested in bhakti yoga, unless they were forced. They never liked to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Rather, they preferred to take the lotus feet of the Lord and place them on their breasts. Sometimes they regretted that their breasts were so hard, fearing that Krishna might not be very pleased to keep his soft lotus feet there. When those lotus feet were pricked by the grains of sand in the Vrindavan pasturing ground, the gopis were pained and began to cry. The gopis wanted to keep Krishna at home always, and so that his feet would not get pricked by the little pebbles and stones and sticks. minds were absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Such pure Krishna consciousness can arise only in Vrindavan. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain his own mind, which was saturated in the ecstasy of the gopis. Speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "For most people, the mind and heart are one. But because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? I would deem that your full mercy." Purport. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, what's the third one? Willing. By which the mind accepts materially favorable things and rejects the unfavorable. This is the consciousness of people in general. But when one's mind does not accept and reject, but simply becomes fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then one's mind becomes as good as Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna is, there also are Srimati Radharani, the gopis, the cowherd boys, and all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Thus, as soon as one fixes Krishna in his mind becomes identical with Vrindavan. In other words, when one's mind is completely free from all material desires and is engaged only in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we are doing and will be doing especially tomorrow, then one doesn't say that here, by the way, then one always lives in Vrindavan and nowhere else. My dear Lord, hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan. And I wish your association there. But if I do not get it, then it would be very difficult for me to keep up my life. Purport. Only when the mind is free from designations can one desire the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Designations means connecting oneself. I am the city, I'm a Los Angelinos person, I'm a person who drives this car, I'm a person who has this house, this is me, this is me, this is me. I designate this temple as my temple. All these kind of designations, not my temple. We don't own anything, it's owned by Krishna. So when we are, as it's mentioned here, only when the mind is free from designations can one desire the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind must have some occupation. If a person is to be free of material things, his mind cannot be vacant. There must be subject matters for thinking, feeling, and willing. Unless one's mind is filled with thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, and a desire to serve Krishna, the mind will be filled with material activities. Those who have given up all material activities and have ceased thinking of them should always retain the ambition to think of Krishna. Without Krishna, one cannot live, just as a person cannot live without some enjoyment for his mind. Again, my dear Krishna, formerly, when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Now you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind doesn't accept it. There is no place in my mind for Gyan Yoga. Although you know me very well, you are still instructing me in Gyan Yoga and Dhyana Yoga. Why? It is not right for you to do so. Purport. the process of mystic yoga, the speculative method for searching out the supreme absolute truth, does not appeal to one who is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. A devotee is not at all interested in speculative activities. Instead of cultivating speculative knowledge or practicing mystic yoga, a devotee should worship the deity in the temple and continuously engage in the Lord's service. Go out to my competition again. They forgot your instruction out there. Let somebody go and tell the kids. Okay, thank you. The deity is known as the Archa Vigraha or Archa Avatar, an incarnation of the Supreme Lord in the form of a material manifestation like brass, stone, or wood. Ultimately, there is no difference between Krishna manifest in matter or Krishna manifest in spirit because both are his energies. For Krishna, there is no distinction in spirit because both are his energies. For Krishna, there is no distinction between matter and spirit. His manifestation in material form, therefore, is as good as his original form, Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha. A devotee constantly engaged in deity worship according to the rules and regulations laid down in the Shastras and given by the spiritual master realizes gradually that he is in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he loses all interest in so-called meditation, yoga practice, and mental speculation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage it in material activities. But even though I try, I cannot do so. I am naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are therefore simply ludicrous. In this way, you are killing me. It is not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. Purport. I can read this. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anyabilasita shunyam jnana karma jnarvatam anakulyena krishanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. Continuing, for a pure devotee, there is no scope for indulgence in mystic yoga practice. Repeat. For a pure devotee, there is no scope for indulgence in mystic yoga practice or the cultivation of speculative philosophy. It is indeed impossible for a pure devotee to engage his mind in such unwanted activities. Even that doesn't mean you can't do 20 minutes of yoga a day. So it doesn't mean that. But to make a preoccupation or an obsession of it, where you have to spend an hour or even 2 hours doing it to make sure your toe is just pointed the right way or that your eyelashes are moving up in the right direction, this is not wanted, okay? And this is what Prabhupada means. There is a tendency to get very much attached to this kind of thing. And it really doesn't mean anything. The only thing that means something is our attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna, as we are learning here. Continuing. It is indeed impossible for a pure devotee to engage his mind in such unwanted activities. Even if a pure devotee wanted to, his mind would not allow him to do so. That is a characteristic of a pure devotee. He is transcendental to all fruitive activity, speculative philosophy, and mystic yoga meditation. The gopis therefore express themselves as follows. The gopis are not like the mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating the so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity, cheating. When they are instructed to undergo mystic yoga practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they become more and more angry with you. Purport. For a pure devotee who has realized Krishna consciousness through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the monistic philosophy by which one becomes one with the Supreme appears hellish. Why hellish? Because the devotee wants a form. He wants feet. He wants to see eyes. He wants to touch. So when you just see this infinite light, there's no service there. There's no form there. And the devotee has developed the attachment for that lovable, adorable form. And he wants more and more of it because the ecstasy that he feels within himself is ever increasing, ever growing, ever larger. Continuing. The devotee's mind and senses are already engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. In this way, the poisonous effects of sensory activities are removed. In this way, the poisonous effects of sensory activities are removed. Sorry. If one's mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord, there is no possibility that one will think, feel, or act materially. Similarly, the fruit of workers' attempt to attain to the heavenly planets is nothing more than phantasmagoria for the devotee. Just lots of all kinds of colors and lights meaning nothing. After all, the heavenly planets are material, and in the course of time, they will all be dissolved. Devotees do not care for such temporary things. They engage in transcendental devotional service because they desire elevation to the spiritual world where they can live eternally and peacefully and with full knowledge of Krishna. In Vrindavan, the gopis, cowherd boys, and even the calves, cows, trees, and water are fully conscious of Krishna. They are never satisfied with anything but Krishna. That's what we have to build up to. That's what we have to aspire to. We have to pray for. Otherwise, it just stays in the book. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The gopis have fallen into the great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the Timangila fish of their ambition to serve you. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these Timangila fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? The gopis do not want that liberation desired by yogis and jnanis, for they are already liberated from the ocean of material existence." Liberated means no more karma, no more gunas, completely affixed, attached, absorbed in Krishna and his pastimes. Therefore, they're liberated from the material world. No need, no desire, no impetus to come back here. They got something better. Okay, it's like you've been eating stale bread all your life and suddenly somebody gives you fresh bread and it tastes so good. Well, a devotee who is completely absorbed in the lotus feet of Krishna, he tastes that delicious, delicious ecstasy. And once having it, never wants anything less than that. So, the gopis do not want that liberation. Purport. The bodily conception is created by the desire for material enjoyment. This is called Vipada Shruti, which is the opposite of real life. The living, getting near the end. The living entity is eternally the servant of Krishna. But when he desires to enjoy the material world, he cannot progress in spiritual life. One can never be happy by advancing materially. This is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.30. Adanta gobhir vishatam tamisram puna punash charvita charvananam. Through the uncontrolled senses, one may advance one's hellish condition. He may continue to chew the chewed that is repeatedly except birth and death. The conditioned souls use the duration of life between birth and death only to engage in the same hackneyed activities: eating, sleeping, mating. What's the fourth one? Yes, defending. In the lower animal species, we find the same activities, since these activities are repeated. Engaging in them is like chewing that which has already been chewed. If one can give up his ambition to engage in hackneyed, the things you do over and over and over, hackneyed. You will be liberated from the stringent. Like chewing that which has already been chewed, if one can give up his ambition to engage in hackneyed material life and take to Krishna consciousness instead, he will be liberated from the stringent laws of material nature. One does not need to make a separate attempt to become liberated. If one simply engages in the service of the Lord, he will be liberated automatically. As Srila Bildamangal Thakur therefore says, Mukti Svayam Mukulita Janjali. This type is small. Sevate Sman. Liberation stands before me with folded hands, begging to serve me. So, again, it is amazing. This is Lord Chaitanya in the form of, or in the mood of Srimati Radharani. In case anybody fell asleep or didn't hear. It is amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is it that you have forgotten your father, mother, and friends? How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, bank of the Yamuna, and the forest where you enjoyed the Ras Lila dance? Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well behaved, soft hearted, and merciful. I know that there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you. Yet your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is only my misfortune and nothing else. I do not care for my personal unhappiness. But when I see the morose faces of your mother, Yashoda, and the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all. Or do you want to enliven them by coming there? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you dressed like a prince, nor do they want you to associate with great warriors in a different country. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan, and without your presence they are all dying. What is their condition to be? My dear Krishna, You are the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj. You are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan, and you are very merciful. Please come and let all the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. Purport. Srimati Radharani did not express her personal unhappiness at being separated from Krishna. She wanted to evoke Krishna's feelings for the condition of all the others in Vrindavan. Dham, Mother Yashoda, Maharaj Nanda, the cowherd boys, the gopis, the birds, the bees, the banks of the river, the Yamuna, the water of the Yamuna, the trees, the forest, and all the other paraphernalia associated with Krishna before he left Vrindavan for Mathura. These feelings of Srimati Radharani were manifested by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he invited Lord Jagannath Krishna to return to Vrindavan. That is the purport of the Ratha Yatra car going from Jagannath Puri to Gundicha Temple. Translation. We just got one more. Not page, half page. After hearing Srimati Radharani's statements, Lord Krishna's love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very much perturbed. After hearing of their love for him, he immediately thought himself to be always indebted to the residents of Vrindavan. Then Krishna began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. Oh, there's more than that. My dearest Srimati, before I go any further, if you'd like me to continue, I'll do that. But if some of you are either hungry or you've had enough of me or anything of that sort, you're welcome to get up and leave now. For those who want to hear the... Now, I don't want to torture anybody. That's not my purpose of up here. Some of you, your knees are aching and killing you. So they see, we have one. So please, you can leave now if you like without in any way offending me. If you want to sin, you won't offend anybody else here, because I don't consider myself such a superb reader or anything like that. I have put a few people to sleep. In fact, there was one person, I won't mention him, he was sleeping a few moments ago. I asked him to go out and stop the noise, but he came to. So here we go. We're continuing this. But thank you very much for those. It looks like about 99% are staying. Thanks so much. My dearest Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I am speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply upon remembering all you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. Purport. It is said, Vrindavan parit yajya padam ekam na gacchati. In one sense, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna and Satchidananda Vigraha, does not even take one step away from Vrindavan. However, in order to take care of various duties, Krishna had to leave Vrindavan. He had to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa, and then he was taken by his father to Dwarka. So this leaving and staying is an interesting concept here. Actually, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. A totally different personality emerges, which is the Vasudeva personality. Krishna Vrindavan is just all love and more love and more love. And people simply want to surrender and surrender and surrender unlimitedly. This is Krishna. That's why they're pining away, as I have been reading. So, continuing. He had to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa, and then he was taken by his father to Dwarka, where he was busy with state affairs and disturbances created by demons. Krishna was away from Vrindavan, and he was not at all happy, as he plainly disclosed to Srimati Radharani. She is the dearmost life and soul of Sri Krishna. And he expressed his mind to her as follows. This is really beautiful. Sri Krishna continued, "All the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, cowherd, boyfriends, and everything else are my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. And among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. My dear Srimati Radharani, I am always subservient to the loving affairs of all of you. I am under your control only. My separation from you and residence in distant places have occurred due to my strong misfortune. When a woman is separated from the man she loves, or a man is separated from his beloved woman, neither of them can live. It is a fact that they live only for each other. For if one dies and the other hears of it, he or she will die also. Such a loving, chaste wife and loving husband desire all welfare for each other in separation and do not care for personal happiness, desiring only each other's well-being. Such a pair certainly meet again without delay. You are my most dear, and I know that in my absence you cannot live for a moment. Just to keep you living, I worship Lord Narayan. By his merciful potency, I come to Vrindavan every day to enjoy pastimes with you. I then return to Dwarka Dham. Thus, you can always feel my presence there in Vrindavan." And they do. They never stop feeling that presence. Our love affair is more powerful because of my good fortune in receiving Narayan's grace. This allows me to come there unseen by others. I hope that very soon I will be visible to everyone." Purport. Krishna has two kinds of presence. Prakata and Oprakata, manifest and unmanifest. These are identical for the sincere devotee. Even if Krishna is not physically present, the devotee's constant absorption in the affairs of Krishna make him always present. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.38. Anybody remember it? Pramanjana Charita Bhakti Valuchanena. Great, wonderful. Due to his intense love, the pure devotee always sees Lord Krishna present within his heart. All glories to Govinda, the primeval personality of Godhead. When Krishna is not manifest before the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they are always absorbed in thoughts of him. Therefore, even though at the time Krishna was living in Dwarka, he was simultaneously present before all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This was his aprakata. This was his aprakata presence. Devotees who are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna will soon see Krishna face to face without a doubt. Just to give a little assurance to all of us here. Again, saying the same thing. This was his aprakata. I'm losing the place here. They then see Krishna directly face to face, talk with him, and enjoy his company. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Tyaktva deham puna janma naitimam eti surjana.
Because during his lifetime, a pure devotee is always speaking of Krishna and engaging in his service. As soon as he gives up his body, he immediately returns to Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna is personally present, and then meets Krishna directly. This is successful human life. This is the meaning of Prakateha Ambe Satvara. The pure devotee will soon see the personal manifestation of Lord Sri Krishna. Again, Lord Chaitanya, I have already killed all the mischievous demons who are enemies of the Yadu dynasty. And I have also killed Kamsa and his allies. But there are two or four demons still living. I want to kill them. And after doing so, I will very soon return to Vrindavan. Please know this for certain. Purport. Just as Krishna does not take a step away from Vrindavan, Krishna's devotee also does not like to leave Vrindavan. However, when he has to tend to Krishna's business to leave Vrindavan, he leaves Vrindavan. After finishing his mission, a pure devotee returns home, back to Vrindavan, back to Godhead. Krishna assured Radharani that after killing the demons outside Vrindavan, he would return. I am coming back very soon, he said. He promised, as soon as I have killed the few remaining demons. I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. That is why I remain in my kingdom. Otherwise, he's talking about Mathura, Dwarka. He wants to kill all the demons so they don't bother, they don't attack, they don't assail the persons of Vrindavan. I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. That is why I remain in my kingdom. Otherwise, I am indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives, sons, and wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Yadus. Your loving qualities always attract me to Vrindavan. Indeed, they will bring me back within 10 or 20 days. And when I return, I shall enjoy both day and night with you and all the damsels of Rajabhumi. While speaking to Srimati Radharani, Krishna became very anxious to return to Vrindavan. He made her listen to a verse which banished all her difficulties and which assured her that she would again attain Krishna. Lord Krishna said, devotional service unto me is the only way to attain me. My dear gopis, whatever love and affection you have attained for me by good fortune is the only reason for my returning to you. That's a purport from Srimad Bhagavatam 1082-44. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit in his room with Svarub Damodar and taste the topics of these verses day and night. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced completely absorbed in ecstatic emotion. While looking at the face of Lord Jagannath, he danced and recited these verses. No one can describe the good fortune of Svarup Damodar Goswami, for he is always absorbed in the service of the Lord with his body, mind, and what's the third thing? It's words. Yes. The senses of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were identical with the senses of Svarup. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to become fully absorbed in tasting the singing of Svarup Damodar. In emotional ecstasy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes sit on the ground and, looking down, would write on the ground with his finger. Fearing that the Lord would injure his finger by writing in this way, Svarup Damodar checked him with his own hand. Svarup Damodar used to sing exactly according to the ecstatic emotion of the Lord. whenever a particular mellow was being tasted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar would personify it by singing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked upon the beautiful lotus-like face and eyes of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath was garlanded, dressed with nice garments, and adorned with beautiful ornaments. His face was glittering from the rays of sunshine, and the entire atmosphere was fragrant. An ocean of transcendental bliss expanded in the heart of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and symptoms of madness immediately intensified like a hurricane. The madness of transcendental bliss created waves of various emotions, the emotions appearing like opposing soldiers staging a fight. There was an increase in all natural emotional symptoms. Thus, there were awakening emotions, peacefulness, joined, mixed, transcendental, and prevalent emotions, and impetuses for emotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body appeared like a transcendental Himalayan mountain, bearing ecstatic emotional flower trees, all them blooming. The sight of all these symptoms attracted everyone's mind and consciousness. Indeed, the Lord sprinkled everyone's mind with the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. He sprinkled the minds of the servants of Lord Jagannath